Okay, good. Right. Now, who here has ever played top trumps? Oh, good. What about out there? Have you played top trumps? It might be a long time ago. Oh, that's good. I tried this at St. George's, and only about three people put their hands up. It's very strange. Okay, so top trumps, you get cards, and on the cards, there's all sorts of different things. You can have dinosaurs, fantasy animals. Is this going to work? Turn it on, Leo. There you go. You have fantasy animals. You can even have Disney princesses. And they show lots of different characteristics about the person. And you've got to choose a characteristic compared with the other person's card. And you choose the characteristic you think will be the higher score, who has a better score. So it could be, if you're doing battleships, you know, my battleship's longer than your battleship, or something like that. So we're going to sort of do a version of top trumps, okay? So this team's going to play against this team. And rather than having cards, you're going to use the people in your team. Okay? So, and so the questions are, who is the tallest? So in your team, decide who's the tallest in your team and then put them forward to see if they're going to beat the other team. Okay? Have you decided? Okay? Do you want to come forward? Come, ones decide on come forward? Let's compare. Oh, it's a bit close. It's close. I'm not sure we should allow Matthew. I think Matthew has it, but then he's not. we'll give it to this team anyway. Okay, that's that one. So who's the tallest? Okay, now next one. Who has the longest hair? We got on this team. Who's got longer on this team? Okay, it's a bit touch and go between you two. Yeah. Okay. Let's compare. Do you want to turn your backs round? I think Rachel wins anyway. Okay, so it's one each to the teams. Well done. Okay. Who lives furthest away? Okay, decide on your teams. Talk to people in your team where they live. Talk to the other people in your team. Decide who lives the furthest away. Talk together. Okay, we're going with this one. Your name? What's your name again?
Isaac.
Isaac. Okay.
And Canterbury. We both live in Canterbury.
You both live in Canterbury because you're from the same household. Okay, that's a draw. I should have thought about that when I split them up. Okay. Next one. Who has the longest first name? So your first name, the name you normally go by. Who's got the longest one in terms of letters? Okay, going to go for this one. Okay, what's your first name?
Rachel.
Rachel. How many letters is that?
R-A-C-H-A.
Just put another A in, just cheat. E-L. That's seven, okay. And your name is? Elizabeth. You came, I know we said Eliza earlier. I'm just going for the full name. So Elizabeth, E-L-I-Z-A-B-E-T-H. So it's nine letters. Fantastic. So this team wins on that one. Okay, so we've got 2-1 at this moment. Last one. Who has the most older brothers and sisters? Okay, you can choose someone from this team. Eliza's coming up again, is she? Okay. Okay, who's got the most on your team? Oh, older. None of you. Got any older brothers and sisters? Oh, you have? Yeah, brothers or sisters. So how many older brothers or sisters have you got? If you can remember.
Yeah,
and how many older brothers and sisters have you got?
Two older brothers.
So this team wins again. So this team wins overall. Okay, right. Now, you might be wondering, why are we playing top trumps in church? Well, top trumps is always about comparing who is the best or what is the best. And actually, in our story today, the one that you and read just now, from that Jesus tells, and this is the last in our series of stories that Jesus tells, or parables, Jesus is actually doing a comparison. There's two people in the story. There's the tax collector and the Pharisee. And it's all about who is best. Okay, so we got here the Pharisee, and we got the tax collector. And you can think about comparing who is best, and you might want to compare them in terms of who lives the best life, who lives in the way, most like the way God wants us to live. And when you do that, you discover that actually it turns out to be the Pharisee lives the best life. Because look, the tax collector, let's think about him. Tax collectors, first of all, They were very greedy. Now, I'm not talking about tax collectors today. Tax collectors today are doing a good job working for the government and everything else. But in those days, people went into tax collecting because you ended up getting lots of money. You got a cut of the taxes for yourself. So people became tax collectors because they wanted the money. And the Bible often says that loving money, wanting more money, is not a good thing. But even worse, they did it in order to help the enemy, which in this case was the Romans. So we're talking about Jewish people here, and Jewish people have been occupied by the Roman forces. The Romans were very much the enemy, and the money collected for taxes, some of it did go to help in Israel, but most of it went back to Rome to make people very rich in Rome. So that's not a very nice thing, really. You're betraying your people just to get rich. And lastly, they did it, tax collectors, mainly by bullying others. So, careful here. They bullied others. In other words, they went around and said, give us your taxes. And he said, no, I don't want to. Then they called in the Roman soldiers. And the Roman soldiers came and sort of made you give your taxes. Probably a few more, with a few bruises and so on as well. So they're really bullies as well. Bullying other people to get money for themselves. So do you think these were very nice people? Do you think they're doing good things? Do you think they've been the best of the people that do the good things? No. Okay. The Pharisees, on the other hand, they tend to be people, who are very careful to do everything that God says in his law. They didn't break any laws. And that's good, isn't it? They were so careful, they put in other laws just to make sure, just in case, they didn't break the law. It's a bit like saying, I don't want anyone crossing the road, so I'll put a fence 5 metres away from the road to stop anyone getting anywhere near it. It's a bit like that. They were desperate to make sure they didn't break the law. So that was a good thing, though. Not breaking the law is a good thing. They're also very spiritual. Not only did they pray and read their Bibles, but they fasted. Now, do you know what fasting means? Right, fasting means not eating. Okay? So, do you see on this chart here, we've got the week's diary. So, maybe they ate on Monday, didn't eat on Tuesday, ate on Wednesday, ate on Thursday, didn't eat on Friday, ate on Saturday, and ate on Sunday. So 2 days a week, they didn't have any food. And they did that to show their commitment to God. This is how sort of spiritual and good they were. And fasting is a good thing to do. A lot of Christians do it today. It's a good thing to do as Christians today to show your commitment to God and want to know him more. And also, they gave money to God's work. So they gave away 10% of what they had or they owned. That means for every pound, you give 10p away. And actually, that's a good thing to do as well because churches depend on people giving money to make them run. And the more people give, the more the churches can do and so on. And so giving 10% away is a good thing. And charities as well depend on people giving money. It was said that actually, several years ago, it was said that if all the Christians in America gave away 10% of their income, then they'd be able to keep all their churches running and solve all the poverty in the world. So it's a good thing to do that. Only more people did it. So do you think the Pharisees were good guys? Doing lots of good stuff? So who of these two would win the does the good stuff competition? Who is best? Do you think this one? So this one's rubbish. Yeah? Get rid of that one. Okay. So it looks like that there's no contest. The tax collector's the baddie. The Pharisees the goodie. But actually, the story doesn't quite work like that. We'll see more in a minute. When you're thinking about the stories, it's good to think about the context of the stories, what Jesus is saying in the stories. And actually, it gives us some background. You look at the verse at the start and the verse at the end, it really helps you to think about what's going on in the story here. And the verse at the start says, Jesus tells this story to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else. In other words, he's talking to people that think, I'm really good and everyone else is rubbish. And he tells this story for them. So that should make us begin to think about what's Jesus going on about in this story. And secondly, at the end of the story, he says, the person that proved to be best, or at least the one that proved to be right with God, wasn't the Pharisee, the one who seemed to do all the good stuff, but was the tax collector, the one who seems to do all the bad stuff. So why is that? How can Jesus say he's the one that's right before God? Well, actually, in a story, it's not about what they've done up to now. It's actually about how they come to God or how they pray. So let's look at more closely at the story and look at how they pray. Right. Hopefully I haven't destroyed the boxes too much. So first of all, let's look at the Pharisee. So the Pharisee, he says... He stands by himself. We've got someone standing by themselves. Is that one? There you go. He stands by himself. There's nothing wrong with standing by yourself, but probably what's being said here is he's standing by himself. He's saying, look, I'm better than everyone else. I'm separate from everyone else. I'm apart from everyone else. I'm the top trump of good living, if you like. And that's sort of quite boastful. And then he actually goes on and he says, he looks down on others. He starts saying, look, I'm not like those other people. I'm not like those thieves or those raucous people that make lots of noise or those adulterers that stick with other people's wives or like that tax collector over there. So he's looking down on others. He's saying others are sort of, you know, really bad and he's really good. He's comparing himself with others. He's doing a top trumps thing. And he boasts about himself. And he says to God, look, I fast twice a week. I give away 10% of what I own. Or tithe is a special word for that. He's boasting about how great he is. And you see, this man comes to God, and it's all about how good he is, how wonderful he is, how he's better than others. That's how he's praying. That's his attitude in coming to God. The tax collector, though, is different. The tax collector comes, and he stands far away. And that's probably a sign to say that actually I realize I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough to come close to God. I'm reticent, I don't really want to come near to you, God, because I don't think you'll accept me. That far awayness shows that he's looking at himself and seeing the bad things in himself and the tough things about himself. And then it says he beats his chest. Do you remember when we did David's confession, we beat our chests? And David's confession was saying sorry to God for the things he had done wrong. And beating his chest was a way of doing that. Saying, God, I've messed up. I've done bad things. I have been greedy. I have bullied others. I have denied my people. He's confessing. He's saying what he's done that's wrong. And then he comes to God and he doesn't expect to be accepted by God because he's any good. The only reason he can be accepted by God is by God's mercy, by God deciding not to treat him with justice. And Jesus says, of the two that come to God and pray in this way, it's the tax collector that is made right with God, and not the Pharisee. Oh, I love doing that. So how do we come to God? How do we pray? How can we be right with God? God loves us to do good things, not to be greedy, but to be generous. He loves us to be spiritual and pray to him and read the Bible and fast. He loves us to do those things. But those things don't make us right with God. If we start trusting in how good we are, like the Pharisee, then our attitude to God becomes wrong. Actually, let's compare the two. See, the Pharisee is arrogant. He looks down on others. He says how wonderful he is. He boasts. But a tax collector comes and says sorry. We need to come to God and be honest about the things that we've done wrong. It says in 1 John, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The Christian faith is not about saying to God, I've lived a good life. It's about saying to God, I've messed up, I've done things wrong. Please forgive me and help me to be better. And it's only when we've actually realized that we've done things wrong, It's only when we accept that we've done things wrong, that we're not good, that we can change. If we go around pretending that we're perfect people, then we will overlook the things that we are getting wrong. And we won't be able to change or become better. And secondly, the Pharisee was self-reliant, whereas the tax collector was God's reliant. The Pharisee thought he'd done everything. He was the one that done enough to be right with God, to be let into heaven, all that sort of stuff. But actually, none of us are ever good enough. And if we're relying on ourselves, we'll never be confident that we got there because we can always mess up or do something wrong. But the tax collector knows he's messed up, knows he can't trust himself, and he relies solely on God's mercy. And that's what faith is. Relying not on ourselves, but on God's, on his character, on what he's done by sending Jesus to die on the cross for us, that we can be forgiven. Paul says in Romans, where then is boasting? For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Faith is being reliant on God and his mercy rather than boasting in what we can do. So the Pharisee was not right with God, and the tax collector was right with God. Now, Jesus is not saying all Pharisees weren't right with God and all tax collectors were right with God. He was saying that it's when you approach God in these ways. If you approach God with arrogance, saying that I'm good enough, you should let me to heaven, then you've got it wrong. You've misunderstood things. If you approach God and say, actually, I am a sinner, please forgive me and help me to live better, then God will accept you, no matter how much you've messed up in the past. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what we learned today. And we thank you that you are a God of grace and mercy. Help us to come to you, not boasting in ourselves, but trusting in your kindness and your love. Amen.